Turn with me to Romans chapter 12. We continue our study of spiritual gifts tonight, and we're going to be dealing with the gift of exhortation. The gift of exhortation. I truly hope that during these days that you have already begun to discover your spiritual gifts, even at this time. Not necessarily that it's so, but I hope that many of you have found some gifts that we have spoken about that have really been very much akin to what you feel God has gifted you to do. And of course, our goal in all of this is, number one, to inform you, because you can't really act properly until you have the proper information. And then we want to inspire you to get involved in exercising your particular spiritual gift, knowing that when you exercise your gift, the body is stronger, it's healthier, it's more alive, it's more alert, and it's going to do a much better job of ministering both to those within the body and those outside of the body. And so I hope that you have found some gifts or gift that you feel that God has given you, and you'll begin to exercise it. We'll begin later on down the line, when we get toward the end of this study, to give you some guidelines and to help you to be able to go back, refresh your memory, and find that gift. And then we're going to try to help you to get involved in using your gift to the honor and the glory of our Savior as we seek to minister in His name. Now, this passage is very familiar. We've read it many times. And I simply want us to look at the very first part of verse 8 of Romans chapter 12. Those of you that are a little new to us, we've studied 1 Corinthians 12 and now Romans 12, and we're dealing with those gifts. And we're just simply wanting to anchor it in the Word of God, and then we're going to move on to describing it from many different passages. Paul says, in describing spiritual gifts that have been given by an act of God's graciousness into our lives, he says that he who exhorts is to do so in his exhortation. Now, that sounds almost redundant, but I think when I describe the gift, you'll come to understand it a little bit better. This is one of those spiritual gifts that perhaps there are those who have different ideas about what it is. Some think that it is a gift perhaps of preaching, exhortation, the idea of exhorting people, trying to encourage people to move on and to take the right route in their Christian life. I personally don't take that particular stand. I think it is a different gift, and I think you'll understand a little bit better in a moment. But there are those who feel that this gift is a gift that attaches itself to the idea of preaching or proclamation. Or it is a gift where people, it's a much more forceful gift than some would think. That is, when you exhort someone, it's a real challenge to them. You're going out there trying to pump them up and inspire them and to encourage them to move on and to do something greater. Well, perhaps that is what the gift entails. And I think to some degree it certainly involves that. But I take a much different vein to it. First of all, listen to some of the other translations of this particular verse. He says that one who is an exhorter, William says, is one who encourages others. Phillips translates it like this, stimulating the faith of others. I like that. That sounds real good to me. That is, one who has the spiritual gift of exhortation is one who is involved in stimulating faith in other people. Well, the gift itself I have defined like this. It is the God-given ability to come alongside others. You need to get those words down. The God-given ability to come alongside others to encourage, to counsel, and to console them using the Scripture. It's very important you use that on the last part. You see, we're not talking about a gift that is used in the general genre of society. We're talking about a spiritual gift that has spiritual connotations, that is supernatural above others. I think there is a practice within our world today that is much like this gift, but it doesn't get the job done like this gift can do. It is the God-given ability to come alongside, to encourage, to counsel, to console others by using the Scripture. And that's very important. It is a biblically based gift. One might really define it in simple terms, and I want to do that. I simply call the gift of exhortation the gift of Christian counseling. The gift of Christian counseling. Now, why? Well, I think, first of all, it's because of the meaning of the word itself. This is the paraclete gift. Most of you that have been in church for any time at all have run on to that word paraclete. It is the word that is translated in the Gospel of John, the comforter, and in some translations, the counselor. It is used to describe the coming of the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, when He comes, He will be your comforter or your counselor. And the idea being that He is one who draws alongside. That's exactly what the Greek word parakletos means in its simple form, to draw alongside. And so it is the idea or the concept of moving in beside someone in order to encourage them, standing alongside them in order to hold them up, to stimulate them to faith, to encourage them from the standpoint of consoling or guiding or counseling them. Other words that are used are words that really attach themselves to the same idea. That is, to translate this word paraklesis or parakletos, it means to urge or to encourage or to counsel or to console. All of that attaching itself to really the ministry of one who has the ability and the God-given ability from the graciousness of God to be able to counsel people and to direct their lives by use of the Word of God. That's why I really believe that this gift is so closely attached to the idea of counseling as we know it today. But I want to be very straightforward with you. I have studied psychology quite a bit. In fact, spent a good bit of time at one point in my ministry thinking that counseling was the answer to almost every ill that was available in the church. Now, I was rather naive. I found out that that wasn't so. And I've read a lot of psychology, not nearly as much perhaps as many of you. But I have used psychology, and I'm not opposed to the use of some of the ideas and the concepts of secular society. I think that truth is truth wherever it is found, even if it is found in the confines of pagan ideas. If it is a truth, it can be borne up by the Word of God. If it is a reality that is akin to the Word of God, then I can accept it. But all truth in my mind is always measured by the authoritative Word of God. I don't want any other truth other than that which can be borne up in His Word. Now, if modern psychology and modern counselors will bear up their techniques and their concepts on the basis of the Word of God, I have no trouble accepting them. And I will say, praise the Lord. I'm thankful that you're able to do something. But I'll tell you what I found. I found that in modern psychology, and at least my use of it, I best not say that about anyone else, though I have sent a lot of people to counselors and I have a lot of background in which I can come from. But when I send someone to simply to someone who is a counselor, who has no spiritual demeanor whatsoever, I want to be honest with you, I don't have much faith in their ability to do them a whole lot of good. Now hang on. I'm not deprecating the whole of psychology, but I am saying to you that the Word of God and the Spirit of God, when used through one who has the gift of counseling, can accomplish far more than any secular psychiatrist could ever do. You say, I'm narrow-minded. Perhaps I am. In fact, I know I'm narrow-minded. I'm so narrow-minded that I believe that because that's what I see the Word of God teaching. You may get some instruction, you may get some guidance, and if you study psychology, you have some things to say to people that is very helpful to them. I'm not deprecating that. But I know this, that a man can have his mind bent in a different direction, he can even have his behavior bent in a different direction, but any lasting, any dynamic change in his life has to come exactly through what I said this morning, and that is a new birth experience in Christ. And if one wants to be on the right track to live in harmony among people and to live on the right track, you can't do it outside of the will of God. Now, if theology and the theology by which we understand and we live by means anything, if the Word of God is true, a man outside of Christ is in darkness. And therefore, for psychology to be used outside of the confines of the Word of God and without the impact of the Word of God and without the dynamic of the Spirit, there is just something missing. There is a missing link. There is a dynamic that is not able to be performed unless the Spirit of God is active in it. And I'll just be honest with you folks, I have just gotten to the point I don't recommend anybody to a secular psychologist anymore who simply operates from the basis of psychology. Now, there are some psychiatrists who don't, you know, hang a shingle out and say, I'm a Christian psychologist, who I'm very comfortable sending people to because they're Christian and they use their Christianity in psychology. You see, there is a spiritual gift given within the life of the church. In fact, one of the most exciting things to me in the modern society in which we live is that we are now discovering that God has placed people in the body. He has gifted them. He has used the ideas and the theories of secular psychology as long as they will measure up by the Word of God. And these people are some of the most beneficial people in the body. They can do so much to encourage and to strengthen and to guide and to give practical application to the Word of God in people's lives because they have been gifted by God through His Holy Spirit to be Christian counselors within the confines of the body. And what a wonderful thing it is. I'll tell you, I praise God for people who have that gift in the body. As a pastor, I have to exercise counseling whether I've got the gift or not. And I honestly think that hidden down under is a secondary gift. I have this gift. It's one of four that I have identified in my own life as a gift from God. But I'll tell you, those who have it as their primary gift are some of the most precious people I know. They are people that I love, people that I respect, people that I am excited about in the body of the church because they are the kind of folks that can really do something in the life of an individual that will benefit them. But else I give you the idea that you must be a trained psychologist who happens to be a Christian to have this gift. Let me say to you that that's not so. It is a gift that God gives within the life of some individuals who have the ability to listen very carefully to what people are saying to them, have an insight of the Word of God, and have the ability to take the Word of God and then apply it to each different situation within the lives of those with whom they are dealing. There are many in the body who have this gift, who haven't seen the inside of a classroom in many, many years, who don't have a degree hanging on their door, but God has gifted them with a supernatural ability to minister to people in their hurts, in their messed up lives, in their lives that are off in every different kind of direction. And there are people that God has given this spiritual gift to as a tremendous blessing to the life of the church. It's one of those gifts that needs to be lifted to the top. We need to do a lot of discovering of this gift in the body because these people can do so much to help keep the body healthy. You see, they have the ability to listen to people, and whenever they're bent out of shape, they have the ability to guide them back into shape. And when their behavior is off, they have the supernatural ability because God has gifted them to take the Word of God, show them where their behavior is wrong, and show them what right behavior will do for their life and move them back in the proper direction. And that's why these people are so vitally important to the life of the body. Now I want to give you some spiritual references, scriptural references. And I really think that when I look in the Bible, one of those persons that seems to just stand out in the Word of God as one who has this gift is the Apostle Barnabas. Now, I don't use that in a technical sense, but in the sense of the general sense of an apostle, the missionary Barnabas. I want us to look at some places in Acts where I think his gift comes out in his exercise, and it will be a basis for me to say some things to you about this particular spiritual gift. First of all, I want you to look in Acts chapter 4 and verse 36. Acts chapter 4 and verse 36. Barnabas is identified as one who is called a son of encouragement or son of exhortation or son of consolation. Some translations have it in differing ways. Verse 36, it says, "And Joseph, a Levite of Cyprian birth, who was also called Barnabas by the apostles," which translated means a son of encouragement or exhortation, one who had the ability to console. You know, he uses his action by giving some land and selling it in order to meet needs. Very likely, Barnabas also had the gift of giving involved in his own ministry as a part of his gift mix. But it is interesting that in the New Testament, when the apostles wanted to give him a title, they wanted to say something about this man Barnabas, they called him a son of encouragement or a son of exhortation. And the same word is used here. It is the idea of one who is always going about encouraging, strengthening, undergirding, and directing people's lives in a very positive way. Boy, do we ever need people like that in the body. Then look in Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. You'll find that a person who has the gift of exhortation is one who is patient with people in their distress, and who are always seeking to guide people out of the distracting and distressing situations which they are in. And they're willing to stand with them, even in the midst of some very difficult circumstances, in order to help them through rough and troubled waters. Well, Barnabas was such a one. Whenever Paul had come to faith in Christ and he went back into Antioch and began to preach the gospel, he began to share what had happened to him, well, the Christians were very frightened of him. And they said, "We don't want Paul around us. This guy was out there trying to kill us. In fact, he had orders as he went into Damascus to destroy the Christian church. And we don't want anything to do with him. He may say that he has changed, but we don't believe him." Well, it was Barnabas who stood up and said, "Let's accept Paul for what he is. I've heard him preach. I've looked at his life. I've listened to him talk. I have examined him. And I want you to know that Paul is the kind of man who has had a dynamic spiritual experience. He has changed." You see, one who has the gift of counseling has the ability to discover what is real in a person's life. They can go to the bone and marrow. They can drive straight as an arrow and find out exactly where a person is. Well, Barnabas says, I know what Paul is like. I know the kind of person he is. You can accept him. Because he is a man who has had a dynamic change in his life. And if one has the gift of counseling, they're able to look into people's lives. And sometimes people will say to them, "Why, what are you doing on the inside of my skin? Why do you understand me so well? How come you have the ability and the insight to genuinely understand where I am, what I'm saying, and what I'm doing? Other people don't understand me like this, but you have the ability to do it." That's the way Barnabas was. It is a part of the ability of one who has this supernatural gift of counseling to be used in the life of the church. Then I want you to turn to Acts chapter 11. Verses 22 and following in Acts 11 describe Barnabas again as he ministers and exercises his gift to encourage and to strengthen and to urge people on. Look down in verse 22. "News reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem. They sent Barnabas off to Antioch. And then when he had come and witnessed the grace of God, he rejoiced and began to encourage them all with resolute heart to remain true to the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and considerable numbers were brought to faith in the Lord." You see, a person can have the gift of counseling and exercise it through the pulpit ministry. Edgar Jackson, who pastored in Washington, has written several books, and some of you are involved in Christian ministry are familiar with some of his books. He's probably one of the most gifted counselors from the pulpit that has ever been. He has that knack, that ability, that as he preaches, it is as if he's having a group counseling session with the people who are listening to him. because God has gifted him with this gift. Barnabas was that kind of man. As he preached to the people, he encouraged them. He tried to stimulate their faith, to encourage them to move on in their faith in God and to grow in their spiritual journey. And as he was doing it, he also kept bringing them back, tying them to the Word of God. I used to use all kinds of techniques. I thought that at one point I was probably going to be one of the most brilliant counselors ever to live. Truth of the matter is, I think that about most everything I'm going to try. You call that egotism, if you will. Somewhere along the line, my family, and I believe God just said, whatever you do, go at it like you're going to be the best. You may not be the best, but go at it like you're going to be the best. Well, I just thought I had counseling in a corner. I figured that Rogers would be calling me to find out what it was all about. I just knew that I had a great ability and gift in counseling. And so I tried Adler's approach and Glasser's approach, and I tried Rogerian, can you believe this, non-direct counseling from me. I mean, I was non-direct in my counseling. I'd sort of sit around and wallow around with folks and let them try to guess whether they, let them try to figure out what was wrong. Now, sometimes that's good. But I woke up one day realizing that while they were trying to figure out what was wrong with them, I was wasting an awfully lot of time. And the truth of the matter is I dealt with people and I tried to help them be guided in the direction they ought to go. Oftentimes, that direction just didn't quite gel with the Word of God. And I found out that I must always keep bringing them back to the truth of the Word in obedience to God, because any counseling outside of obedience to God isn't good counseling. You know what I found? My counseling sessions became very, very much shorter. That doesn't mean you're not supposed to listen to people. In fact, one of the most blessed things you can do as a counselor is simply sit with your mouth closed, listening to what people are saying, listening to their hurts, allowing them to bear their soul to you. But after that catharsis that takes place in that moment, there's something more that one must do who has this gift. And that is, as Barnabas did, bring them back to the truth of God and anchor them to God's Word. I found that the most important thing I could do is just simply lay out the truth of the Word of God and say to them, all right, you've shared with me what your problem is. We've discovered it. We've found it. We know what's wrong. Now, I can give you a lot of ways in which you can get out of it, but the quickest, best, and most important way is to simply show you God's way. And once you've discovered God's way, you have a choice. And that is, you either obedient to it or disobedient. You know, people are put in a spot when they're put like that. But friend, I'm going to tell you something. If you're on the receiving end of somebody who has the gift of counseling, so oftentimes what you're wanting that person to do is to tell you what you know to be wrong. I've had people come in and sit down on the couch and begin to talk with me, and I'm referring back in Jackson, not to anyone here. But I've had them come in, and I finally just said to this one individual, you're asking me to tell you it's okay to get a divorce, and I'm telling you it's not. See, they were just wanting me to okay whatever was wrong, whatever they wanted to do. No, the truth is, one who has the ability or the supernatural gift of counseling will not stand there and just tell you, go ahead and do whatever you think is right. They'll bring you back and anchor you in the Word of God. And then they'll say to you, if you want to do what's right, if you want to walk in holiness before God, if you want to be obedient to Him, and if you want your life to be under the glorious, wonderful presence of God, then you must be obedient to Him. Simple as that. Truth is, folks, that's the only thing that counseling can do for you, really. Give you the chance to share your burdens, but then show you under God's Word what you need to do. You see, and we're rational people, which really means we're irrational. We're rational by human standards, but irrational by God's standards most of the time. Because we'll rationalize most anything we want to do. But you see, when you're brought back by one who has this gift, always back to the Word of God, you can't weasel out of it. God's Word is true, and it confronts you where you are. Sin after sin after sin. I've wanted to go to a counselor and try to talk him and let me out of it, you know, and to say to me it's okay, but he never would. It's amazing. God never relents. His truth is the same. It's always there. One who has this gift will bring you back to the Word of God. Let me show you one other occasion, which I think is very important to one who has the gift of counseling. Look in chapter 15. chapter 15, verse 36 in that chapter. It is a story of Paul and Barnabas and a young man by the name of John, sometimes called John Mark. Paul must have been a rather strong-willed person himself. And Paul and Barnabas began talking about their missionary journey, which was upcoming. Barnabas wants to take John Mark along. Paul says, no, he copped out on us the last time around, and I'm not going to let a quitter go along with me. I don't want anybody like that on a journey with me. I've got high business to attend to. I don't know that anyone could fault Paul for feeling that way. Paul had a strong desire to do things that were great for God, and he didn't want somebody on the team that wasn't going to play the way it ought to be done. And so he just says, if that's the way it is, then we're not going to be able to go together. And Barnabas, we're going to have to split up because I'm not going to let John Mark go along with me. But Barnabas says, Paul, if that's the way it is, you go in your direction. Let Silas go with you, and I'll take John Mark, and we'll go somewhere else, and we'll do double good. Now, why do I bring that up? Because you see, I believe one who has the gift of counseling is one who has the ability to help salvage broken lives. One who God has gifted in a supernatural way to counsel people by the direction of the exercising of this particular gift is one who has the ability to help salvage broken lives. John Mark was a quitter. But Barnabas understood that once a quitter doesn't necessarily mean always a quitter. Barnabas was willing to take a risk on someone. He was willing to take the time to spend in salvaging young John Mark. And I'll tell you what, I'm thankful he did, because John Mark is the one that recorded for us probably many of the sermons and much of the discussion from the mind of the Apostle Peter in what we now have as the Gospel of Mark. You see, somebody took the time to salvage him because they had the gift of counseling. Friend, if you have the spiritual gift of counseling, you ought to go around finding everybody that is broken that you can find and spending time to salvage their lives. After all, isn't that what Christianity is all about? We're in the business of salvaging people. And we need those who have this spiritual gift to exercise it in the family of God, in the life of the church, to help to bring about that salvaging effect in the life, to bring them out of their brokenness and to help them to stand on solid ground again. Because some of those people that are in the life of this church, some of those who are broken, who have done all kinds of things wrong, who have been quitters, who have copped out on God, who have done a lot of things, with somebody who is willing to help salvage their lives, just might be one of the next great preachers in America. Just might be one of the great teachers in the Sunday school. Just might be one of those next deacons to stand and take his stand for God in the midst of the family of God. Among us, some of those broken people just might be salvaged because you exercised the spiritual gift God had given you, even as Barnabas did. But let me give you some practical application very quickly, and then some tendencies, and I'll be done. I think it's obvious that God has called many out of the body to be Christian counselors. That is, those who take the truth from psychology and who put it under the umbrella of the Word of God, apply it as it is used in the Word of God, and give people direction. We have some in the life of our church who God has called out, who have put in places in Christian counseling centers to serve the Lord in that capacity, and I'm very thankful for them. Obviously, pastors and staff members, many of them have this gift and exercise it over and over again in the body of the life of the church in order to try to encourage people and to give them direction in the broken parts and pieces of their lives. I think it is a marvelous thing when a Sunday school class happens to have one who has the gift of teaching, but also the gift of counseling, and exercises it in teaching of that Sunday school class. I think one of the gifts that God often places in the lives of deacons is this gift of counseling, the exhortation gift. I can remember back in Jackson, and I'm sure we have them here, and as I get to know our men better, I'll begin to discover those people. I think I know of some already, but certainly I know in the last church where I pastored, There were several of our men who had this gift, exercised it, and did so beautifully, and were constantly strengthening the life and the health of the body of Christ because of the exercise of the gift of counseling. And then I think as laypersons, encouraging one another is a part of this parakletos gift. You know, some of you have this gift, and it's not exercised in the technical sense in which I've used. Some of you have the gift of encouragement, which is a part of this gift. And you know how to apply it liberally, and that's so good. You know, I don't know how you feel, but have you ever been in the pits? I mean, like felt like the armpit of the world, and nothing was going right, and you had things you had to try to do, and yet you just couldn't get the muster, the energy to do it. And someone with this gift, who had the ability to recognize in you the struggle that was going on, just came by and said, "Man, I just want you to know, you can do it. I mean, I'm proud of you. You can do it." Well, man, you can climb a mountain when you've got somebody like that. You'll never know. Some of you have the gift of encouragement. You'll never know what it means to my life. Because while I try to be jolly and happy and come out here on Sunday mornings and Sunday night with a bounce in my step and a smile on my face and an excitement in my bones, there are just some Sundays that Paula pushes me out of bed and said, "But you've got to go because you're the preacher." And I need some of you with the gift of encouragement, exhortation, counseling to encourage me on. And every one of the children of God has a time in their life, and sometimes many times, when they need someone with this spiritual gift, exercised in a non-technical way by those who have it, to just walk up beside them, draw alongside, and say, "Come on, you can do it. God can do it through you. Stand tall. I'm beside you." Nothing like knowing that. As a pastor, you'll just pardon the personal reference. But I think of how Moses standing on the mountainside, you know, and having those men hold his arms up. That's the way I feel by my deacons, knowing that they are guys who are going to walk along beside me, get me by both arms, sometimes carry me whenever I'm unable to walk, because they are encouraging me. Many in the body of Christ need that. If you have this gift, you ought to exercise it to their benefit. Let me share with you some tendencies. This is the second in conclusion, but I told you there was a second half of the conclusion. Tendencies. One who has this gift identifies emotionally and mentally with others in their predicament. That is, they don't just simply stand off and they're not suave and cool and just sort of, you know, I'll try to help you poor problem-oriented people. But rather they can identify. When you say to them, "I'm hurting here," they may not be able to say, "Well, I have been there. I know exactly what you're talking about." But they have the ability to say to you, "I understand. I can empathize with you. I can put myself in your place." They have the ability to visualize goals and steps of action for others to follow. You know, I've sat down with some of the people who have this gift, and I'd share some problems that seemed absolutely so complex and intricate that nobody could get me out of it. It was like a maze. And they just sat down with me, and very quickly and easily, they directed me out of the problems I was in. Amazing. A person with this gift has that ability. And they seem to always challenge you, stimulate your faith, if you will, to encourage you to set a goal and to move toward it, because that's part of the directing of your life and getting you out of the place where you are. A person with the gift of counseling appeals to the will by asking and urging and requesting certain courses of action. One who has this spiritual gift does not simply leave you to find out the best way you can go, but they will take you to the Word of God and they'll say to you, "Here's the direction you need to take." They seek insight from human experience and from psychological background and psychology in general, but they only use that which can be validated by the Scripture. A person with this gift is people-oriented, people-centered, and they delight in the personal conferences which result in new insight and action. They enjoy just getting alone with somebody, sitting down, eyeballing them, and talking with them, because it's the time when they're at their best. They really glow at those moments, because in the counseling situation, they're able to help people and direct their lives. They expect people to follow their problem-solving plan. I'm just sure that a lot of people could have been helped that came to me if they just followed what I told them to do. Amen? Ever been there? Well, I'm not altogether sure of that, except as I guided them by the Word of God. And a person who has this gift just flat expects people to follow what they share with them and guide them to do. And lastly, they have the ability to see how tribulation and difficulty can produce new levels of maturity. Now, I want to speak just a moment to that. Friend, a person with the spiritual gift of counseling is one who has the ability to recognize that because you're having problems doesn't necessarily mean that those problems need to be solved immediately. You see, God allows certain circumstances to come in our lives to teach us things. And one who has the gift of counseling is one who is relaxed whenever the pressure is on. And they're able to show a person, look, God has allowed this to come into your life in order to move you in a certain direction. God's wanting to redirect your energies or redirect your finances or redirect your thought patterns. And He's wanting to do it. He's allowing these problems to come and tribulation in your life in order to move you up to a level of maturity. Again, it comes back to stimulating your faith. They may be one who can help you, saying to you, the problems you're encountering are simply to help show you that you can have faith in God. You can trust Him. He'll see you through. He'll encourage you. He'll guide you. God will never let you down. And they see that those circumstances are created, allowed by God, in order that you might be redirected in your life. Well, it's a marvelous gift, and it's one that ought to be exercised liberally in the life of the church. And one of these days, what I see growing, quite honestly, out of this whole series is that we'll have people who will have this gift. They'll come to the surface. They'll be identified in the body, and that I can just say to some, to those who come to me, look, there's Jane over there or John over there, and they understand what you're going through. God's gifted them to deal with this very special circumstance in your life, and I want you to just sit down and talk with them, and you'll find they can do you a marvelous amount of good in your life. And I really think that's when the body begins to operate, to function, to be what the body's supposed to be. You say, but wait a minute, I want my pastor, or I want my staff member to deal with me in those circumstances. Well, that's fine, but you see, God didn't make the body that way, and if you're going to live by the guidelines of what God has set out, you're going to have to allow members of the body to minister to you. I don't mean indiscriminately, but I do mean that you allow them to have input and impact into your life to minister to your hurts and needs. Well, we talked about the gift of counseling, but I guess I'm Baptist. I can't stop without an invitation. And I just feel like that there is a need tonight to say to you that if you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that our church, this building, everything that we are is here because we want you to find Him as the Lord of your life. That you might come to know Him by giving your life to Him by faith, by reaching out to Him, accepting Him as Lord and Savior of your life. And if you need a church home, we're going to give you the opportunity to find it this very day.